It's time for the Cheap and Chaz Power Half Hour. Welcome in, welcome all, welcome to everyone for following and listening to the only and best podcast that focuses on our league of record. Chief, how you doing tonight?
I'm a little under the weather, not feeling too well. I've been better, trying to rest up so that I am better in time for Johnny's wedding.
Okay, yep, we're 1 week away.
So hopefully whatever's ailing me is out of my system by then. I should maybe consult with our doctors via text message if I feel like it here.
Yeah, I wonder how often the two of them get texted for like random stuff from our
group.
I feel like it's probably
not. It sounds like Tim bugs Claire when anything is wrong. That was the impression I was getting today.
A little bit.
If Tim has a twinge in his arm, he's texting Claire about it. If his stomach grumbles the wrong way, he's texting Claire about it. I feel kind of sorry for Claire. She should have Tim on retainer. She should get a fee for this, I think.
I know, right? But there's patient-doctor confidentiality there, technically? Is there? I don't know, because...
Well, Tim was the one who revealed it.
Well, you know, I know that, but I'm just saying, like, in terms of, like, if anybody were to ask one of the two doctors in the group a question, like, is there patient-doctor confidentiality, even though they're not technically your patient? I wonder if that exists.
Very good ethics question. I'll leave that up to the doctors. I guess if you're supplying medical advice to someone, technically yes. Kind of like how Michael Cohen, you know, claimed to be the lawyer for Sean Hannity at one point in time, and Hannity was disputing that. A couple questions, this and that. So what constitutes being a patient or a client? I don't know.
Yeah.
Very good question. All right, well, we get into the deep issues here on the Chief and Chaz.
We do, and we're going to get into even deeper issues next week on Chatting with Chaz.
Oh, yes. I cannot wait for that.
It'll be a
good three-hour block of time quartered off for that one.
We probably could if we wanted to go that long. We probably could. Yeah,
I'm going to want to play Overcooked a lot, so I'm going to try to keep it short.
Sure.
We'll see how it goes.
All right. Well, let's talk about the reason why we're here, which is our league of record. Let's first talk about, you know, the matchups that happened last weekend, and obviously week one is the books, and then give a little preview of the week going forward.
So I don't know how you felt about your team coming out of week one. Were you just like resigned? I guess maybe resigned to your fate early in the season with Bell being out. Didn't work out the way you thought it might.
Look, I mean, no, it didn't work out that I had all three guys that, you know, I wanted to be in terms of like my trio of running backs. But that being said, I still have Zeke. I still have David Johnson. I'm still very happy with Kirk Cousins and Vikings. And if you remember me from our draft episode where I talked about the fact that, you know, my goal was to get 25 points combined out of my QB and my defense. I need 70 points combined out of my three running backs, and I need another 24 points combined out of my three wide receivers and my tight end. So my QB and defense delivered. My running backs obviously fell short, and obviously a lot of that has to do with the fact that Bell's not there. And then my wide receivers and tight end really fell short. You know, I was mad because I had a lineup in there originally of Chris Godwin, Tyler Lockett, and Danny Amendola. And, you know, one of the downsides of utilizing, you know, one of those, you know, the footballers, in my case, I use the footballers, they do weekly rankings. So just in reviewing the rankings that they did for that week, I saw that they had guys like Rishard Matthews and Mike Wallace higher than Amendola and Godwin. And so I said, okay, well, I'll start those guys instead. And also, you know, I thought Mike Wallace could be a sneaky play. I looked at his stat line last year. And there were a lot of weeks where he had, you know, 8+ points. And Godwin, I just figured, you know, with Fitzpatrick, maybe he's going to take a step forward. And I I got it again for me. It's always an issue of I always make the wrong choices in terms of starting my lineup, and it bit me in the ass. And then I even went a step further because I dropped guys like Quincy that, you know, if I just like held on to them for the first week just to see what happens, I would have had, you know, another possible starter on my team. Given, you know, obviously Sam Darnold is not as bad as we thought. And, You know, here I am. So, I mean, I'm not resigned. I still feel like I have a fighting chance. I mean, I expect Bell to report by at least week 10. So at least I'll have him for the last 6 weeks. So basically, if I can get myself in a position where I have, if I'm 500 by week 10, I think I have an outside shot at getting the playoffs. Whether or not I'm going to get to that point, I don't know. Obviously, the Cardinals are inept. Johnson got 8 freaking carries. Zeke, you know, they had their own host of problems. So, you know, it looks like the bright spot on my team this year might be my QB and defense. But, you know, it sucks, but it's just it's the hand I dealt myself, and I got to play with it. So,
yeah, it's I don't know, it's just deflating. I was actually very looking forward to seeing how your strategy was going to play out in its full form. I was very excited about that coming into the season. So to have this happen is a little deflating. And you know, because I think, you know, if you had pulled this off and you know, you started winning games with that strategy, I think it definitely would have shaken up the league going forward here in terms of how people view the draft and what they might be targeting in a draft and how much money they're willing to spend. So in some ways I was kind of rooting for it to succeed, because I feel like if you succeeded with it, or if you do succeed eventually, that it might cause people to, you know, change their perspective a little bit. And I wonder what the reverberations of that would be going forward.
Well, yeah, I appreciate that. I mean, you know, it's partly my fault, because Gelch offered me the chance to trade for James Conner, like, right after the draft. And I said, no, I think Bell's going to report. I don't have an issue with it. And then by the time that it got to the point where it was clear that he was not reporting, the price tag, obviously, on Conner went way up. And there was just no price that I could pay without trading a more high-profile guy. And I just wasn't willing to do that. So, you know, that's it. Just it's the way the cookie crumbles. I mean, for all I know, he'll report by week 4. I saw something today actually that said that he had planned on supposedly reporting sooner, like after like week 1 or 2. But then because of his teammates trashing him, he basically said, screw this. And I think I even saw a picture of him partying in Miami right now. So, yeah, you know, it is what it is. And I'll move forward. I still have Johnson and Zeke. So if they can be top 10 guys for me, I still have a shot. I just got to get the right wide receivers in place.
Yeah. I feel okay about my team. I'm not hitting the panic button by any means, even though I did make a major trade in week 1. I did, which is very early for that to happen. Yeah, normally, my strategy is to. Thank you. Normally, my strategy is, you know, to wait until week 2 to try and make these kind of trades, because week 2 is when usually a lot of people after week 1 are like, well, it was 1 week, let's just see what I got. But if somebody's not doing well after 2 weeks, that's when people start to get a little nervous and you know, might be willing to make a trade. But this one, you know, Tim kind of reached out to me and saw that I had 2 tight ends, and he was the one who actually initiated the trade talks, believe it or not. I didn't. So no, I did not. So he said, let's talk tight ends. I think he texted me late Sunday. I said, sure. And I texted him, I think it was before I flew back to Minnesota. I said, you know, just spit, or maybe it was after I landed. I said, just spitballing here. What would you think about, you know, Hunter, McCaffrey, Ertz, Henry or Peterson, Ertz and Brady for Hunt or McCaffrey, and you give me either Garoppolo or Jared Goff back. And he said he, you know, was busy at work, took the afternoon to think about it, and he got back to me with an offer and Jimmy G for Peterson, Brady, and Ertz. So he it was actually very easy. In total, it took a few hours because he was busy at work, but in total, it took maybe a total of about 4 or 5 text messages to get that deal done. It was very quick.
Not a lot of back and forth. It was just
not a lot of back and forth. It was
he gave you what he wanted, and you accepted.
Yep, that was exactly it.
I mean, we'll see what happens out of that. Obviously, you know, Hunt had a down game, and you know, my opinion is very clear on Adrian Peterson. I think that it's a big gamble on him, and I don't think he's going to have the legs to last, but we'll see. I mean, it's great for you because you basically traded you traded a starter in Ertz, but you have Kittle, who I think will do fine. You have your third running back in this situation, really. I mean, maybe your second to some degree.
Yeah.
He would have
been my second this week. Yeah.
Yeah, and then you trade Brady, but you're getting back a quarterback, and you can always stream quarterbacks, and you can find the point somewhere. So, I mean, it's a good deal for both sides, assuming all players do what they're supposed to. But as we know, it's always, you know, a few weeks in by the end of the season, you know, it's always somebody got the better end of the other, but you just don't know.
Yeah, you don't know. You know, if you're still looking at it from a dollars to dollars comparison based on the draft, I traded away $33 worth of players for what did Garoppolo go for? $46 worth of players. So I was pretty happy with that. But we'll see. I'm a little shaky on Kareem Hunt. I kind of see what Joe Mancuso, you know, in our chat sees, which is, you know, Spencer Ware is eating into his usage a little bit, and that's a bit of a cause for concern, especially in the passing game. But you know, week one in San Diego was a very weird game. I guess just from a game flow standpoint, because of all the big plays to Tyreek Hill, and he returned a punt, and you know, I don't know how much to read into that. So we'll see going forward how that plays out. I hope he's not due for a sophomore slump.
Yeah, any concerns for you with Fournette and his injury?
I saw him. I was actually watching as he gimped off the field the other day, and I just sighed to myself. I was like, oh boy, I just hope it's not serious. Yep. He was grabbing the back of his leg as he was walking off, and I knew that there was an injury risk, you know, with him coming into the season. He's been banged up throughout his career, his college career as well. He played through some stuff last year. I forget if he missed any time. I guess my only hope is that since I have Yeldon as a Fournette owner, like if you're going to hold him out, like, you know, don't play him this Sunday if you don't think he's 100% healthy, and put Yeldon in there. So that way I'm not, you know, trying to guess who's, you know, how much work is Fournette going to get, you know, is Yeldon going to be in for most of the snaps and get most of the carries. So I just want that certainty of which guy do I go with on a given week. I actually almost would prefer that Fournette doesn't play this week, and I just
give him a little more.
I give him another week to try and heal and just ride with Yeldon for a week and hope I can make it work.
Yeah, so in that case, having your handcuff really helps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure in the draft whether I wanted to do that or not with Yeldon, but then I thought – I pictured this exact scenario. I'm like, what if Fournette actually does go out? How right. badly would I want TJ Yeldon on my team? And the answer was very badly. So that's why I did it.
Yeah, that makes sense. You know, looking at week one, you know, I obviously there are some surprises that jump out at you, right? You know, Joe Bryan's team being as explosive as it was, you know, I feel like that's one of those situations where obviously because of Hill, because of Kamara, he's got two guys on his team that can really blow up. But he's got a bunch of steady workers in Thielen and Juju. So, you know, on paper, his team was a little volatile to me. But if Kamara and Hill do half of what they're doing and everybody else does just status quo, Joe's going to coast this year. So he's got a very, very strong team at this point. Obviously, based on week one. But, you know, he and Mancuso are really my two front runners in terms of the teams I just enjoy that I like the most. Mm-hmm.
I'll still give the nod to Joe Mancuso. It is Joe Bryan. It's setting up to be a very feast or famine team. But given Kamara and Hill, I think Hill is going to have his ups and downs, and he'll go the way of Pat Mahomes, I think, maybe some weeks. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering how much that's going to – Mahomes' growth as a quarterback is going to affect Hill throughout the season. So try not to overreact to week one, but it certainly looks promising for Joe Bryan. And the thing with Kamara was he had 38 points and he only had 8 carries.
Well, I mean, that's
insane.
It's 9 it's receptions very similar, for 112
yards.
Ridiculous. It's very similar to what he did last year in terms of his efficiency. He doesn't get a lot of touches, but he does a lot with him. And Hill was the exact same way. I think both those guys were top 5 in terms of efficiency from number of touches to fantasy production. And obviously when you see that, it's a question of can that continue? And obviously, at least in week one, it did. So, you know, as long as those guys keep producing, you know, Joe's always going to have a really nice steady base of points to work off of.
But he's also got he's got two decent weapons on the bench. Geon Lewis looks like the number one back in Tennessee after week one.
He does.
Chris Thompson. And Chris right, Thompson, as long as Chris Thompson is healthy he's going to get a decent amount of touches week in and week out. So he does have some of those guys on the bench. The rest of his bench I'm looking at now isn't that – actually, I'm looking at last week's bench. I'm not sure who he picked up on waivers this week. but, you know, I take his team over a lot of teams in the league. Absolutely.
Yeah. So, you know, looking forward to week two, it's real interesting the way the matchups line up, that we basically have all the 0-1 teams facing off, all the 1-0 teams facing off. So you're basically going to be left with a league that is, you know, six teams that are 1-1, three teams that are 2-0, and three teams that are 0-2. And so I like that the parity, there's not a lot of people that can get out on their own. So, you know, into that 2-0 mark. So, you know, it's going to be very competitive this year in terms of this league, and even the teams that start off 0-2 are not going to be that much behind the eight ball.
No, you're going to be one game out of a playoff spot after 2 weeks, so all hope is not lost if you lose this week. Whereas, you know, if you had another week where maybe four or five teams ended up at 2-0, then you're in trouble. But when you have three or six teams that'll be 1-1, it's a little easier to take an 0-2 record. I guess let me take a look at some of the matchups here.
Yeah, I'm facing off against Kat.
Yeah, you're facing off against Kat, Kat's team. We everybody seemed to like Kat's team coming out of the draft. McCoy was a bit of a downer, as was Alex Collins. Her running backs really let her down last week. You know, so I'm wondering what she's going to do there long term if they have another couple of down weeks. I think McCoy will be fine. Alex Collins, I'm not as convinced that he is going to be the guy again this year. I've talked about that on a previous episode of this podcast. Mm-hmm. So we'll see. I still like her team, though. It's sound. It's solid. It's got, you know, it's explosive. It's got, you know, outside of her tight end, maybe every position is okay. So I still like her team going into week two here.
Yeah, and, you know, I made some changes in my lineup, so I'm now inserting Godwin, Amendola. I'm basically reinserting the lineup that I would have had last week. I still might change out Alfred Morris, another wide receiver, given that I don't know what Morris is going to produce, and I can't count on that. And then I just got to hope that, you know, Zeke and Johnson bounce back. I think Cousins is going to feast against the Green Bay defense. I think the Vikings defense is going to feast on the Green Bay offense, especially if Aaron Rodgers doesn't play. So I think, you know, I'm in position to get the W here more so than Kat. You know, looking at some of the other matchups,
ESPN projections favor her.
I know they do, but
by 6 points,
they do favor her by 6 points. But I still think I'm going to get it. You know, I have to be optimistic, right? You know, I really
very very mild trash talk there, Chaz. Is she listening in the other room or something?
On the couch next to me, and she just gave me a look. So and now she's smiling. So yeah. You know, I'm looking forward to Mancuso off versus Gelch. I would love for Mancuso just to smack Gelch down and knock him back to 1-1. You know, obviously, you know, Gelch's wide receivers need to step up. They did horrible last week. I don't even know if Marquise Goodwin's going to be able to play. Obviously, he's going to get work with James Conner. He's going to get work with Gordon Watson. We don't know what's going to happen. So, you know, I definitely favor Mancuso in this one, although if Rodgers doesn't play, I think that does help.
If Rodgers doesn't play, it's a decent sized blow to Joe Mancuso. You know, I was wondering how that was going to go Sunday night watching Rodgers walk or get carted off the field. I was like, oh boy, could this be over for the Packers before week one is even over? But he toughed it out. And I think he's going to play on Sunday. If he was able to finish that game, I think he's going to play against Minnesota because it's a division rival. This is the team that knocked him out last year. I think he really wants to play in this game. So I'm expecting Rodgers to play.
So maybe he'll just hang in the pocket a little bit. It won't be as mobile.
Right, exactly. I mean, if anybody can quick passes so he doesn't get hit.
I mean, look, if anybody can beat a team with their arm, it's Aaron Rodgers.
Mm-hmm. So in that matchup, I'm curious to see what the hell happens with Amari Cooper.
Yeah. I mean, I like Amari Cooper this year.
Are the Rams just one of those teams where you just can't really start your receivers against them because of their corners? Or is this just more Amari Cooper, and the Raiders can't get out of their own way when it comes to getting him involved? I don't know.
Probably a combination. I mean, it doesn't help that they only targeted the wide receivers 9 times in that game. I mean, they looked at Cooper. Mm-hmm. Cooper had 3 targets, and then John Gruden comes out and says, we need to get Mark Cooper going. He's our best player. No shit. How about you throw him the freaking ball and let him go try and make a play? Carr has just not been the same player since he broke his leg 2 years ago. He's hesitant, and Gruden. I don't even know who the backup there is. It might be Connor Cook.
I'm not sure either.
So if I'm Gruden, I pull the ripcord on Derek Carr in the next week or two, if he keeps performing the way he does.
Yeah. Carr looked awful in that second half. Some of those interceptions he threw were just atrocious.
Yeah.
They were really bad.
I mean,
as for Joe Mancuso, it looks like he's hit on every one of his picks.
Yes, he has. And Howard, he's got a nice bench.
Ajayi, Hilton, was probably the most underwhelming of the rest. Diggs and Cousins had a nice connection for a touchdown in that Niners game. Cooks looks to be a lot more involved than Sammy Watkins ever was in the Rams offense.
Yep.
So that was a good bet. And Emmanuel Sanders, who I actually own in my other two leagues because I wanted pieces of the Denver passing game, and Sanders looks like a good bet.
Yeah, I mean,
he's looking fairly solid.
I could see like one of these guys having a breakout every week, but everyone else, it's just it seems like they're going to be a lock to get at least like 10 points. So he's going to have a really nice mm-hmm. high floor, and he should get some nice pops. And realistically, we know as long as you can be in that 110, 115 point range, you're in a good position to win a lot of games this year.
Yep. Exactly. Moving on to, let's see, Mike and Jake.
Yeah, so, this one's interesting, right? Because you got Mike, had some points left on the bench, but now Deshaun Jackson's hurt. So, mm-hmm. Obviously it probably doesn't look like he's going to play. He's obviously got an amazing 1-2 combo with Gurley and Jones, even though Jones probably won't catch any touchdowns. He's going to get the targets.
Yep. 1,500 yards, no touchdown.
Yeah. Cam Newton's always good for something. I mean, he's 3 years in a row. It's funny though, because last week he only passed like 180 yards. But mm-hmm. He's still going to have a strong week. So he's got a nice high floor, especially with his rushing yards. I just, after seeing the performance by Jake's team, with Burkhead hurt, obviously the main lone bright spot for him, I think, is Michael Thomas. Joe Mixon, I don't like against the Baltimore defense this week.
Yeah, it's a tough matchup.
Stills, obviously, good guy, good targets. He got 2 touchdowns, but he got 2 touchdowns on 4 targets last week. So he's not gonna be able to produce that every week. Trey Burton wasn't what we thought he was, at least for the first week. He got 1 catch. Breida obviously did a little bit of work, but, Jake needs his team to even out a little bit, and I don't know if that's going to happen.
Yeah, Stills was definitely he seems like very much like a Deshaun Jackson type. He's going to have some of those games, it feels like, where he's going to get 4 catches and 100 yards and a touchdown or 2 touchdowns. But I guess his team's looking a little better. I don't know. I'm still not there with his team. Especially if Burkhead's missing time. He's got to turn next to either Duke John. Oh, I guess Tevin Coleman's there. So Tevin Coleman is probably his number 2 running back if Burkhead can't go.
Yeah.
Or Breida. So we'll see. And Sterling Shepard is his number 3 wide receiver. I'm guessing Jake is probably going to put Josh Gordon in there at some point. And
you that'll should.
Give him a lot of boom and bust at wide receiver if it's Gordon and Kenny Stills, especially if Tyrod Taylor is throwing passes to Josh Gordon.
Yep.
I kind of like Mike in that one.
I prefer Mike as well.
I'll take Mike a little bit.
Yep,
just a little bit in that matchup. Gurley and Newton and Jones, those three should provide Mike with a decent floor for his matchup.
Yeah. The next matchup I have is Tim and Ryan. Ryan's team coming out of the draft just struck me as the team that, a lot of players that slacked last year, and it's just what was going to happen with them this year, right? Kenyon Drake, Corey Davis, Devin Funchess, and, they did okay coming out. Obviously, he's got Gronkowski, which is great. He lost Olsen, but he's got Gronkowski, so it's not that much of a loss. Crowell, obviously, great surprise. If Darnold is what it seems like he is, Crowell and Powell are going to get a lot of work. And so that's going to be a nice 1-2 combo for Ryan with Freeman and Crowell, as long as Freeman stays healthy.
Yeah, I really like Crowell coming into the season. Another guy I have in my other two leagues. And I remember at the draft when Ryan had $6 on him, I couldn't bid any higher. So I was almost beside myself that people let Crowell go for $6 in our draft. Because I just thought he was going for such a great value. He's like the definition of like a post-hype guy who, he went for whatever $30+ last year and didn't deliver on it. But the guy has talent, new situation. He's a decent runner. And the Jets always, or at least under the Todd Bowles regime here, always seem to get the running backs involved and make them fantasy relevant at least a little bit. Like, you think to Matt Forte and Powell, and even a couple weeks of Elijah McGuire last year. These guys seem to get involved, so I like Crowell going forward, even though he only had 10 carries last week.
Yeah, and it's funny because at least now Tim has more than two running backs on his team.
Yes, he does. He's got Darren Sproles, he's got Peterson and McCaffrey. I mean, he probably has the oldest.
Yep. Well, I mean, McCaffrey's pretty
Peterson.
Young.
Well, I mean, Peterson and Sproles are bringing that average way up.
Yeah, sure.
Mid-30s for both of them. Looks like Tim's going to roll with Brandon Marshall maybe at flex this week.
Yeah, seems like it.
I mean, interesting.
Why not?
I mean, why not, right?
Doug Baldwin's out, right?
Doug Baldwin's Tyler Lockett, out, right?
You got Tyler Lockett, you got Brandon Marshall, you got Will Disley, whatever his name is. There's no way that guy that repeats. There's no way.
Yeah, no, that's a fluke. That's a fluke. Yep. That's the every so often
touchdown,
right? Exactly. But Wilson also does this occasionally with the non-pass catching tight ends the Seahawks have had. Like Luke Wilson of years gone by, where it's like Luke Wilson ends up getting random touchdowns throughout the years.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's probably what you saw a little bit of last Sunday.
Yeah. So, I mean, given the addition of Brady, I think I'm going to – just looking at the matchups, I think
Brady's got Jacksonville, though.
He does, but it's Brady. I think I give the slight edge to Tim this week over Ryan.
I guess I'm down on Brady more than everybody else. Everybody seems to just say, "Oh, it's Tom Brady." I don't know about that. I really think Brady is not what he used to be. I don't like their receiving core. I don't like that they're going to likely be salting a lot of games away early. I don't like that they're probably going to get the one seed early this year because
you don't know that Jets are firing.
How many times have we said that? Oh, the Jets! Look at the Jets! And then the Patriots end up winning the division as they always do.
Yeah, but we thought that about Brady last year, and he still threw for 5,000 yards and 30 something touchdowns or 26 touchdowns. So I mean, it's perpetually been that way for Brady for a few years. You're like, okay, this is the final year where he's going to go. It doesn't happen. So I think he's still got enough left in the tank for this year.
We'll see. I'm betting. I was down on Brady, and that's why I got rid of him. But I could be proven wrong.
Yeah.
And probably most likely will be proven wrong.
Yeah. How do you feel about your matchup with Johnny?
I feel okay about it. Johnny's got some tough matchups.
After last week, Russell Wilson against Chicago, Jesus, I can't wait to see what Chicago
could be. could be a tough one. Barkley versus Dallas. Barkley should do his thing against Dallas. Probably will be a little easier time for him. So I'm expecting a big day out of Barkley. Marshawn Lynch versus Denver. You know, I think that's a okay matchup, like an average matchup. Denver's defense, not what it used to be. Devontae Adams going against Minnesota. That's a tough one. You know, Vikings defense, pretty stout. Rodgers hobbled. Fitz going against the Rams secondary. You know, that's really tough. You know, Evan Ingram is inconsistent. Robbie Anderson only got one catch last week. So I don't know. I feel decently okay about it, but you never know. And Lord only knows what happens with the Fournette-Yeldon situation. Kareem Hunt have another down. If Fournette and Hunt don't do anything for me, I'm in trouble. So, or Fournette slash Yeldon and Hunt don't do anything for me, then I'm going to be fighting an uphill battle, I think.
Yeah, I mean, but, you know, obviously I think Hopkins is going to get force-fed targets like he always does. Kittle, obviously, will be a great play. I think Aguilar is going to benefit because even though they're going up against Tampa Bay, he mostly works out of the slot, so I don't think he's going to get the same coverage. He's not going to have to go up against the cornerback. He'll mostly be up against Nichols. So yeah. I even though Johnny is favored on paper, I'm giving you the edge in this matchup.
Yeah, we'll see. You know, I think my receivers, Woods, he didn't have the greatest stat line, but I did watch that game and they targeted him a decent amount, especially deep too. So, you know, I'm not taking Woods out of my lineup anytime soon. Aguilar, like you said, at least he's going to get targeted a bunch. Demaryius Thomas had a good game. I was very encouraged by the Denver passing game. Hopkins is going to be Hopkins.
Yep.
It's just my running back situation. Are these guys going to produce like we expect them to on a week-to-week basis? Yep. Don't know who I'm going with at quarterback yet, if I'm going to go with Jimmy G or if I'm going to go with Tyrod Taylor. That's probably going to come down to you know, day before decision, probably leaning towards Jimmy G just because he's at home and the Lions look terrible. Mm-hmm. So I think I'm going to go with that right now, even though Tyrod has the Saints, who just looked abysmal the other day. I have a feeling that loss is going to awaken what is otherwise, or at least looks like, a talented Saints defense, or at least not what they showed last week. So I'm a little nervous about the Saints coming out and, you know, having an answer game to what happened to them last week.
Yep, that's fair.
Mm-hmm. And let's see who else we got here.
Our last matchup, which is two of the three high scoring teams last year, O'Brien and the Goopers. What's really intriguing about this matchup is that basically every game, with the exception of one on each team, one for Joe, one for Matt and Coop, every player is playing at 1 o'clock. So
we're gonna find out early. All right.
Yeah, good. And Joe specifically, his one not 1 o'clock game is Thursday, and Gates is not until Monday. So Mondays. Either we're gonna be waiting on Cohen, or we're gonna know pretty early on what's going on. So
fascinating. And, although there's a chance, and I can see this happening, that the
one of the games gets
the
moved.
That the Goopers insert Cooper Kupp into their flex spot.
Could I
the Cohen? But if Gates has his say, I'm sure Cohen stays there.
Yeah, they're going to stick with Cohen, I think. But yeah, I mean, obviously these are two teams that I think are suited to go head to head, and I think it's great that they're going up against each other in week two. You know, I think whoever wins this matchup particularly, I think you know, Gelch and Mancuso's matchup to a lesser degree, but I think whoever wins this matchup between O'Brien and the Goopers has an inside track at the playoff pole position.
I would tend to agree with that. I think it's going to be Joe Mancuso at 2-0, one of these guys at 2-0, and probably Mike at 2-0. I'm gonna pick Joe O'Brien in this matchup just because.
Yeah, I'm
because his team is so explosive. So I expect Mike, Joe O'Brien, and Joe Mancuso to be your 2-0 teams after this week.
Okay, that's fair. I think I got O'Brien in this one, just like by a slight edge. But You never know with the Groupers. You can't count them out.
Well, they have a wide array of products that they could use at their disposal on the Goop website. This has been a treasure trove of comedy for me when I've been making out my observations here. It's just I can't believe they sell some of this shit for the price that they sell it for. It's unbelievable. It's insane.
Yeah.
I'm in the wrong line of work, Chaz. This is just. I should start my own lifestyle brand. I really should.
We're on the wrong line. We got to be selling this kind of crap.
I know. So, absolutely.
So with that, I think that wraps it up for this week. We're just a little over this week. We're at like 35, 32 minutes in that range. So it's going to be a good week two. And you know, I guess we'll any final thoughts before we sign off.
Nope, I'm off to eat my food and watch some Supermarket Sweep before bed.
Okay. I'm going to have to get into this craze since you guys are all doing it. I barely remember this show.
Chaz, it is so good. It's different watching it now, you know, as an adult than when you were a kid. I don't know. It's you just got to see it. It is the height of like late 80s, early 90s capitalism.
And where do we watch it again?
The height of late 80s, early 90s fashion. I have on my cable package, I have what's called the Buzzer Network.
Which is
basically what the Game Show Network used to be,
right?
Which is they showed old game shows all day, or you could. And Mike has been doing this. Mike watches it. They have some episodes on Amazon Prime, so you could search Supermarket Sweep on Amazon Prime and watch a bunch of episodes from I think the year 2000.
Oh, okay.
So he's watching episodes from a little later than I am. Right now, Buzzer is going through episodes from like 1991 and 92.
Right.
Mike's going through episodes from 2000. The game is a little different, but the basic structure is the same. And there's just a lot of unintended hilarity. My goal is to spot the gay couples on the show and like how covert they are in being gay. But I haven't found many yet. So, you know, I'm not... We'll see. We'll see if I find a few in the coming weeks here.
Yeah, you can report on it next week if you find any.
Yes, I will. I'll be watching a bunch of episodes before next week.
All right. Well, with that, we'll end this episode. Once again, thanks for listening. Please subscribe. Leave us 5 stars. And as always, you can always leave us voicemail questions. We haven't gotten any in a few weeks by logging into the Anchor app. That's NACHOR. Searching for Chief and Chaz.
Fact check, Chief. ANCHOR.
What'd I say?
NACHOR.
ANCH. I apologize. Thank you.
In case our audience doesn't know how to spell Anchor.
Yeah. Hopefully you don't spell NAK. Search for Chief and Chaz with an ampersand and submit a voicemail question. And then we'll see you next time on Chief and Chaz Power Half Hour.